call to worship this morning is from Matthew, chapter 11, verses 29 and 30. Then spake Jesus, saying, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. May the Lord add a blessing unto his word, and give you comfort at this time. May we now continue with the use of hymn number 126. And when you find your places, would you please rise? 126.
Father, we come to thee, asking, Father, that thou pour thy spirit down upon us. Give us a greater understanding of thy works and the things of which thou would have us know. May our minds and hearts be in tune with thee. With my prayer in Jesus' name, amen.
I kind of wanted to go along with what Fred was bringing forth last week, and the acknowledgement that we need to give our Heavenly Father. I'd like to start off with Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and also the good. As my brother said, I wonder why we just fear so much in our lives today. Why do we have so much fear? The Lord has always told us that he's with us. So why the fear? Why the worry? Oh, maybe it's because our eyes were opened to that scripture which says, the eyes of the Lord behold all things, both good and evil. Does that make you feel a little uneasy? It's funny how we touch base on that a little bit this morning, on whether we're doing all the things that we're supposed to be doing or not. We all make mistakes. We do. But the important thing is that we repent on them right away for those mistakes, that we can find ourselves once again spotless before the Lord, because no sin is too small. No sin is too small. No sin at all can enter into the kingdom. We need to seriously realize that. I ask you today, how How many have came in here in this building weighed down a little bit by sin this morning? You know, and the Lord knows. Don't wait to take care of it before we don't know when our last day is going to be. Don't wait. You know, you can go to Alma chapter 16, around verse 229, and it tells you right in there why we are not supposed to procrastinate our day of repentance. That whole chapter, very firm on that. You can start around 225 and continue reading about the next 15, 20 verses. And he was very adamant about that and the necessity to be a repentful people and not wait. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ indeed died that we might live, however, not live unto ourselves, but live unto him who paid ransom for our sins. Not live unto ourselves. Take a look within you, brothers and sisters, and your lives. Are you living unto the Lord? Romans 14:7 says this, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living." The Lord is with us wherever we are. Are we struggling to believe that which is written in the scriptures ourselves? Are we stepping back and not sure? I read it right here, but I'm not sure. Where's our faith? Let me back up for a moment. Are we taking time to study God's word so that our minds will be in tune with him, that we can tune out the world, at least for a time, brothers and sisters, to get ourselves straight with the Lord, that we might find strength in him and our faith might be tied to him and not tied to worldly affairs? This is some serious stuff. It really is. Are we seeking for God's kingdom or are we seeking for the world? Every day we should be asking ourselves that as we look forward to that day of things that we're going to do. Are we seeking God's kingdom or are we seeking the pleasures of this world? The work, this is Doctrine and Covenants section 140, 5C through D. The work of preparation and the perfection of my saints go forward slowly. We wonder why? I think we answered that a little bit this morning. And Zionic conditions are no further away nor any closer than the spiritual condition of my people justifies. Who's slowing the Lord down? The people. But my word shall not fail, neither will my promises, for the foundation of the Lord standeth sure. Always. The Lord standeth sure. He does not change. How is your spiritual condition today? Are you a little wishy-washy? Are you on this side or that side? Or are you sitting on the fence? One day here, one day there. Has the purpose of this church changed? Absolutely not. This is the church of Jesus Christ. We are his, and we live unto him, not unto ourselves. Everything we owe to him and to our Father in heaven, not to ourselves. And we are his. And we need to faithfully trust in him, and we need to faithfully serve him in all we do. Psalms 37, 39 through 40 says this, "But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust him." We must seek the Lord and his strength always. I want to ask you a question. If you went to court today and you were being tried as a Christian, would you be convicted on all charges against you as a follower of Jesus Christ? Would you be found guilty of being a good Christian? Or would you be lacking in evidence to prove it? That's a question we each need to answer. Because I'm telling you, we're in court right now. And how are we going to be convicted? God is such a loving God. He knows where you are every minute of your life. He knows what you're thinking. I hope good thoughts. He knows all the things that you've done. He knows all the things that you will do. And all the time he's trying to guide you and direct you with that still small voice, if we would only listen in the direction that leads to him. Can you hear it? Can you hear that still small voice? Can you feel it in your heart? That direction that he tries to give us daily, every minute. God is our refuge and strength, a present help in trouble. That is Psalms 46:1. That's something we should all have on our minds daily. God is our refuge. He is our strength and our help through all our troubles. If you think you are close to God, get closer, because you're not close enough yet. Because I mean to tell you that Satan, that wily old devil, he's there right away to try to cause things that will cause you to be pulled away from the Lord at any time. And without the Lord on our side, it's going to be nearly impossible for us to stand our ground on ourselves. We just can't do it. Satan is very strong. We have to have the Lord and his strength on our side. In other words, let's turn it around. We need to be on his side. And he will be with us and strengthen us and give us courage and get us through things. It's time to take a serious look at your future, that which you're preparing even right now. I mean eternity, not tomorrow. I'm talking about eternity. This is just not some game we're playing. This isn't something that we get a do-over on. This is something that is going to be set in stone. Do not be swayed by thinking all is well and just kind of cruising through and thinking everything's set. Stand up for what's right. Stand up for Jesus Christ, by whose name you are called. Is it going to be easy? Doubtful. Doubtful. Was it easy for the apostles? Every one of them lost their lives. Are we willing to do that? Are we committed? I hope you all realize how much God loves you. I really do. For he surely loves you and loves us all. And it's much more than the world can ever give. Nothing from this world will ever be the same as the love that God has for you. It surpasses all things. Now, once again, we can see that everything goes back to that little word, faith. And we must have a strong faith. We can't be weak. We cannot be weak in our faith, brothers and sisters, at all. Faith is a foundation to which we must continue to build on every moment of our lives, stronger and stronger and stronger, not the other way. If your faith is weak, so is your foundation. But with a strong faith, our foundation will prevail all the storms that can be thrown our way. Let's stop for just a moment and think. I want you to think, how many times has the Lord blessed you up to this very moment? How many times has he blessed you? All the worries that you've went through, all the times you've been stressed out, and here we are today. How many times did the Lord get you through? Well, then why wouldn't he continue to get you through if any more that we come upon? Trust, faith, courage, patience. We need them all. I can give you an example of my patience recently being tried. My faith, I suppose. You know, Judy went and finally, after all this time, had her hip replaced. Everything was going good. And then a person came into our lives that was supposed to do physical therapy, who was supposed to be professional, and did something that wasn't quite right. And tried to tell us that I can do whatever I want, basically, attitude. No matter what your doctor says, that's not for me. That's just for you. And it caused a difficult week, brothers and sisters, a difficult week. Because in our mind, we thought that something was messed up. She started having pain in her hip again. All the way back, we went to Lansing again to get some x-rays. She was supposed to go Friday, call the doctor. Doctor got us in there on Wednesday. Thank the Lord for that. And we were able to see that everything was good, that she needed to relax a little bit. The x-rays showed it was perfect, even perfect. But in our minds, see what we do to ourselves? A little bit of lack of faith. Of course we prayed. We prayed, we did. But the flesh is weak. Prayer, faith, and patience is what we need to have, always. Because at the end of the day, everything was good. I can't help but think God must be watching many times to us and just waiting for us to ask. Just ask. I do pray that we all realize how much the Lord does love us. We're still learning, and I don't think we ever stop, and I don't think we ever should stop learning in this life. For as long as we live, I know I will always be as a child to God. Always learning, having that instinct to want to learn and to understand, having my eyes upon Him, having your eyes upon Him, always seeking and learning and wanting more, because He's promised so much. The problem for us in this life is we will always have our agency. The Lord's never going to take that away from us. We have to choose Him. He's not going to force us. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. You can't take someone and force them to believe what you know. Even if you have a testimony of it and you're assured of it, you can't force someone else on that testimony. Now, they might take your testimony for a while and believe on it, and that helps to give them encouragement until they have their own testimony. But we have to have our own testimony. And we have to choose wisely and use our agents as wise stewards over all things. And great things will be possible, I guarantee you. The downside is, once again, we have our agency. And if we'd use it unwisely, brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, it can be devastating to our life. Devastating. And not just to us, but our choices, as we always know, will affect others. Whether we want them to or not, whether they think they are or not going to affect them, they do undoubtedly affect other people that are around us. Nonetheless, we choose. We can do things on our own and suffer the consequences, or maybe not have the blessings that we could have, or we can ask God to assist us always, right away, and have faith and trust that He will be with us. It's your choice. Plainly speaking, God will not force us to come onto Him. There's an old saying that there was a fisherman. He prepared for a trip. He had packed his rod and reel. He had all the clothes. No matter what was going to happen around him, if it was going to rain, he was prepared. Everything was going to be good for the trip. He had maps of the river. He already talked to people. He knew where the fish were going to be. He baited his hook. He found that perfect spot, and he threw the line in the water. But you know what? He can't make the fish bite. You just can't. The fish has to choose. God has given us all the tools that we need that we might find our way back with him in his kingdom. He has given us the ability to pray through Jesus Christ. He's given us the scriptures that we have to study, to give us direction. He's given us the church, the ordinance within, and the sacraments. But we must choose to use them. And we must use them properly, with faith believing that the Lord will bless us in all our needs. When you come for administration, when you ask for prayers, it's not a band-aid that we just use from time to time. It has to be used properly. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. But all things have to be done in the proper way, in the proper manner, for the right reasons. We can't just call upon the Lord and then go back upon our merry way the very next day and think all things are going to be well. Especially once we've been blessed and our eyes have been opened. You can't turn your back on that, ever. Because he's acknowledged you and you have acknowledged him. And he has given you strength. God surely does want us to live a joyful life. He does not want us to sit around sad and despair all the time, worried with our hair falling out because we're just so going crazy about all the things around us. Turn your life over to him completely. Serve him faithfully, and he will bless you abundantly. He will give you the things that you need to know through that Holy Ghost. And you will find yourselves filled with the knowledge that you need, whether it's for your own well-being or whether it's something that you can need to give to share with someone else, whatever it might be. And he will open your eyes to all these things in that moment when you need them. And you won't have to struggle with your own words or your own things or your own thoughts, because God will be with you because you had faith and trust and you called upon him. Pray always. Study, take time to listen, and learn. Be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. For we will be judged by our works. We all know that. It's all throughout the scriptures, including the last book in Revelations. You will be judged by your works. You know, it's one thing just to sit and listen. But it's another thing to be able to hear those words, to hear that warning, to heed them, to go to your Heavenly Father in prayer and study and ask him the meaning of that for you, no matter what day it might be, no matter who you're listening to, who you're hearing. And if you think you're doing enough, think again. Because we know in Romans 12, 1 and 2, these great verses, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be ye not conformed by this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what that good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. It will come out through you if you allow yourselves to be used by your Heavenly Father. That perfect will show through you. Jesus is our perfect example. Can any of us say that we've done enough this day? Please pay attention to what's going on in the world these days around us and the many things which the scriptures have foretold. Prophecy is being fulfilled even as we're here right now, brothers and sisters. Listen to the words of Matthew. Watch and pray that ye not enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak, and we know that. That's another reason we need to pray always, because we know that if we don't, and we don't have that connection with our Heavenly Father, that the flesh is weak, and we can find ourselves being pulled away in the wake of the waves, away from our Heavenly Father. We definitely need the strength of the Lord to be with us. You know, I used to say, We need his strength to be with us even more so now than ever, but I'm not going to say that no more because we need him every day. Not more than ever today, because we need him every day. He will see us through, no matter what's going on around you. Today, many people are looking for direction in their lives. Problem is, there's a lot of roads out there, brothers and sisters, and a lot of roads that lead in many different directions. And a lot of people within them roads are saying, hey, follow me. Come on this way. They're trying to convince you that they know the best way. And there's lots of them out there. Be careful who you listen to. I will tell you that. Be careful who you listen to. And even when you do hear things, test it all against the scriptures. We're told to do that. The scriptures have warned us that in the last days many will be deceived. Even those men, and many of them that have righteous knowledge, will be lured away from God. That's how strong and how wily the Satan is. That even those that are righteous, he can still pull away if they're not careful. You know, that's why there's no room for arrogance, no room for pride, any of that. None of that can be in our lives, because right like that, Satan will take advantage of that, and he will take care of you really quickly. This is found in Matthew 24:23. For in those days there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if possible, they shall deceive the very elect. It's all told about it in the scriptures. We just need to study. The warnings are all there. And it's for us that we will have a better life, a fruitful life, that we see these things, we'll know that the coming of the Lord is near. Many of us, I am sure, can testify that this is already going on out there. We already see all these people. There's teachers everywhere that want to tell you they know everything in the religion part of, aspect of things, that they can make you a good Christian. Not that you can do it on your own, of course. They can make you a good Christian. Just follow them and listen to them. Follow their teachings. Everything will be good because they know more. Search the scriptures, brothers and sisters, for those warnings. How can you tell if someone's good or not? Well, you know, it's very simple. How can you tell if someone's good or not? One small line in scripture tells us exactly how to see, have to have our eyes open to be able to tell if someone's good or not. Matthew 7:29. By their fruits ye shall know them. It doesn't take too long to figure out where someone's going, what someone's doing, whether it's good or not. Just keep your eyes out, have a little patience, and you'll see. You'll be able to tell. Are they causing people to be joyful or sad? Are they using other people for their purposes? It's not hard to tell. See how that works? Ask a question. Test it against the scriptures and you get an answer, just like that. It's not hard. It's all right there before us. All we need to do is look. Open your eyes. Allow the Lord in your heart. Again, knock and it shall be open unto you. Those things that you need when you ask that are needful for you will be given. Test all things against the scriptures, as we well know we should be. If man would only abide by this one statement, they would not get lost all the time into their own thinking. But it all goes back to faith. We have to believe what the scriptures contain. We have to acknowledge our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to acknowledge our Father in heaven. All these things we have to acknowledge and we have to have faith in. Otherwise, this book needs nothing. So if we're going to test all things against the scriptures as we're here today, then we're saying that we believe and agree with those things that are in here that the Lord has given unto us. Otherwise, why would we test them through what's in here? Why not just go out in the world and test them against the things in the world? Because we have faith. We know our Father in heaven. We know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We know that there will be eternal glories there will be God's kingdom. And we have faith in that and hope. We can't live without the direction of the Lord and have a joyful life. And even if we do have joy in this life, because we're living on our own, doing our own thing, as the scriptures tell us, we've had our reward here. Where will our reward be in heaven? That's a question we need to ask ourselves always. You want your reward here? You can get it. Eternity is a lot longer than this life will ever afford. I think I'd rather have my reward set for eternity, not for this life. Many times we seem to tend to want to handle things ourselves. After all, right? We're all adults. We've been through all the training. We know everything, right? Yeah, right. Only with our own knowledge. I sure hope the Lord has a sense of humor. I really do. Watching us down here and the things that we do each day, over and over, he's got to constantly try to lead us in the right direction. And he blesses us, and then we continue to stammer. Trust in the Lord always. Have that faith, that strong faith. Yes, we're still spiritual infants. It takes a lifetime to grow into the fullness of the understanding of God in Christ. There's no doubt about that. Open your eyes. Open your ears. Open your heart unto Christ. See his love all around you. Hear his voice in your heart and your mind. Feel the warmth and the good spirit that he gives you as he comforts you to get you through. I know that we're scattered at times and we're wondering what is to come of us. With so much worry on our hearts, not only for ourselves, but our families and our friends, those who that we love that are around us. When this happens, I want you to remember this, the promise of Zion and the beauty of God's kingdom, which will come. All things will work together as God has planned. I want to leave you with this thought, and I know I've shared it with you before. It's so easy to understand this. So you have a great orchestra, this grand orchestra. This is how kind of we are as we run to and fro, it seems sometimes, whether we're separated or whether we're together. We just kind of seem to be going. But I want you to think about this. So in this grand orchestra, everybody goes up and they walk on stage and they begin to practice. I don't know if you've ever been to an orchestra before they get going. It's just everybody's blowing their horns and playing their, just everything is all confused. As they practice, the sounds are all mixed up and they're very unorganized. You can hear a couple different, but they all just blend together. You can't even understand what's going on. Then there's silence for a moment and the first chair plays a note, a perfect note, that pitch which others will join in, and they all come together. And it just sounds, I mean, if you ever heard that, you can just, you know, it's when they say when all the notes are together, you just feel a vibration, and you can when everything's perfect. Once again, they're silent. The conductor enters in, prepares the group for the music. He raises his baton, and all at once, the music begins all together, and it's just so beautiful because they're all playing together of one accord, just as we should be. That our lives will be beautiful as we melt together as one heart, one mind, in that beauty through Jesus Christ that we are called to have. How beautiful is that thought? I want you to keep that in your hearts and minds. I ask that we prepare ourselves. As we prepare, we do it both separately and together, but that we're preparing for that day when the Master will return and he will raise his hands. And he will put all things back to that perfect order, that which we were created for. Remember, the eyes of the Lord are always upon you, always.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come thanking thee for the words that have been brought. And as we remember all those that have gone before us, those in the Bible, those that are around us, that have suffered and died for thee. We pray, Father, that thy Holy Spirit might rest upon us, bless our lives, and bless those around about us. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.